There, he sent a stone in your back again, he knows you, cried the children. It's you he is throwing at now, not us. Come, all of you, at him again, don't miss, Smurov. And again a fire of stones, and a very vicious one, began. The boy on the other side of the ditch was hit in the chest, he screamed, began to cry and ran away uphill towards Mihailovsky Street. They all shouted, aha, he is funking, he is running away. Wisp of tow. You don't know what a beast he is, Karamazov, killing is too good for him, said the boy in the jacket, with flashing eyes. He seems to be the eldest. What's wrong with him? Asked Alishaw, is he a telltale or what? The boys looked at one another as though derisively. Are you going that way, to Mihailovsky? The same boy went on. Catch him up. You see he's stopped again, he is waiting and looking at you. He is looking at you. The other boys chimed in. You ask him, does he like a disheveled wisp of tow? Do you hear, ask him that. There was a general burst of laughter. Alishaw looked at them, and they at him. Don't go near him, he'll hurt you, cried Smurov in a warning voice. I shan't ask him about the wisp of tow, for I expect you tease him with that question somehow. But I'll find out from him why you hate him so. Find out then, find out, cried the boys laughing. Alishaw crossed the bridge and walked uphill by the fence, straight towards the boy. You'd better look out, the boys called after him, he won't be afraid of you. He will stab you in a minute, on the sly, as he did Krasotkin. The boy waited for him without budging. Coming up to him, Alishaw saw facing him a child of about 9 years old. He was an undersized weakly boy with a thin pale face, with large dark eyes that gazed at him vindictively. He was dressed in a rather shabby old overcoat, which he had monstrously outgrown. His bare arms stuck out beyond his sleeves. There was a large patch on the right knee of his trousers, and in his right boot just at the toe there was a big hole in the leather, carefully blackened with ink. Both the pockets of his greatcoat were weighed down with stones. Alishaw stopped 2 steps in front of him, looking inquiringly at him. The boy, seeing at once from Alishaw's eyes that he wouldn't beat him, became less defiant, and addressed him first. I'm alone, and there are 6 of them. I'll beat them all, alone. He said suddenly, with flashing eyes. I think one of the stones must have hurt you badly, observed Alishaw. But I hit Smurov on the head, cried the boy. They told me that you know me, and that you threw a stone at me on purpose, said Alishaw. The boy looked darkly at him. I don't know you. Do you know me? Alishaw continued. Let me alone. The boy cried irritably, but he did not move, as though he were expecting something, and again there was a vindictive light in his eyes. Very well, I am going, said Alishaw, only I don't know you and I don't tease you. They told me how they tease you, but I don't want to tease you. Good, bye. Monk in silk trousers, cried the boy, following Alishaw with the same vindictive and defiant expression, and he threw himself into an attitude of defense, feeling sure that now Alishaw would fall upon him, but Alishaw turned, looked at him, and walked away. He had not gone 3 steps before the biggest stone the boy had in his pocket hit him a painful blow in the back. So you'll hit a man from behind. They tell the truth, then, when they say that you attack on the sly, said Alishaw, turning round again. This time the boy threw a stone savagely right into Alishaw's face, but Alishaw just had time to guard himself, and the stone struck him on the elbow. Aren't you ashamed? What have I done to you? He cried. The boy waited in silent defiance, certain that now Alishaw would attack him. Seeing that even now he would not, his rage was like a little wild beast's. He flew at Alishaw himself, and before Alishaw had time to move, the spiteful child had seized his left hand with both of his and bit his middle finger. He fixed his teeth in it and it was 10 seconds before he let go. Alishaw cried out with pain and pulled his finger away with all his might. The child let go at last and retreated to his former distance. Alishaw's finger had been badly bit into the bone, close to the nail, it began to bleed. Alishaw took out his handkerchief and bound it tightly round his injured hand. He was a full minute bandaging it. The boy stood waiting all the time. At last Alishaw raised his gentle eyes and looked at him. "Very well," he said, "you see how badly you've bitten me. That's enough, isn't it? Now tell me, what have I done to you?" The boy stared in amazement. "Though I don't know you and it's the first time I've seen you," Alishaw went on with the same serenity, "yet I must have done something to you, you wouldn't have hurt me like this for nothing. So what have I done? How have I wronged you, tell me?" Instead of answering, the boy broke into a loud tearful wail and ran away. Alishaw walked slowly after him towards Mihailovsky Street, and for a long time he saw the child running in the distance as fast as ever, not turning his head and no doubt still keeping up his tearful wail. He made up his mind to find him out as soon as he had time, and to solve this mystery. Just now he had not the time. Chapter 4, At the Holokovs. Alishaw soon reached Madame Holokov's house, a handsome stone house of two stories, one of the finest in our town. Though Madame Holokov spent most of her time in another province where she had an estate, or in Moscow, where she had a house of her own, yet she had a house in our town too, inherited from her forefathers. The estate in our district was the largest of her three estates, yet she had been very little in our province before this time. She ran out to Alishaw in the hall. "Did you get my letter about the new miracle?" She spoke rapidly and nervously. "Yes." "Did you show it to everyone?" He restored the son to his mother. "I have heard, I know, oh, how I long to you or someone, about all this. No, to you. And how sorry I am I can't see him. The whole town is in excitement, they are all suspense. But now, do you know Katerina Ivanovna is here now?"
"Ah, that's lucky," cried Alishaw. "Then I shall see her here. She told me yesterday to be sure to come and see her today.
I know all. I've heard exactly what happened yesterday, and the atrocious behavior of that creature. Quite tragic, and if I'd been in her place I don't know what I should have done. And your brother Dmitri Fyodorovich. What do you think of him? My goodness. Alexei Fyodorovich, I am forgetting, only fancy, your brother is in there with her, not that dreadful brother who was so shocking yesterday, but the other, Ivan Fyodorovich, he is sitting with her talking, they are having a serious conversation. If you could only imagine what's passing between them now, it's awful, I tell you it's lacerating, it's like some incredible tale of horror. They are ruining their lives for no reason anyone can see. They both recognize it and revel in it. I've been watching for you. I've been thirsting for you. It's too much for me. That's the worst of it. I'll tell you all about it presently, but now I must speak of something else. The most important thing, I had quite forgotten what's most important. Tell me, why has Liza been in hysterics? As soon as she heard you were here, she began to be hysterical. Maman, it's you who are hysterical now, not I. Liza's voice caroled through a tiny crack of the door at the side. Her voice sounded as though she wanted to laugh, but was doing her utmost to control it. Alishaw at once noticed the crack, and no doubt Liza was peeping through it, but that he could not see. And no wonder, Liza, no wonder. Your caprices will make me hysterical too. But she is so ill, Alexei Fyodorovich, she has been so ill all night, feverish and moaning. I could hardly wait for the morning and for Herzen's tube to come. He says that he can make nothing of it, that we must wait. Herzen's tube always comes and says that he can make nothing of it. As soon as you approached the house, she screamed, fell into hysterics, and insisted on being wheeled back into this room here. Mama, I didn't know he had come. It wasn't on his account I wanted to be wheeled into this room. That's not true, Liza. Yulia ran to tell you that Alexei Fyodorovich was coming. She was on the lookout for you. My darling mama, it's not at all clever of you.
But if you want to make up for it and say something very clever, dear Mama, you'd better tell our honored visitor, Alexei Fyodorovich, that he has shown his want of wit by venturing to us after what happened yesterday, and although everyone is laughing at him. Lies, you go too far. I declare I shall have to be severe. Who laughs at him? I am so glad he has come, I need him, I can't do without him. Oh, Alexei Fyodorovich, I am exceedingly unhappy. But what's the matter with you, Mama, darling? Ah, your caprices, lies, your fidgetiness, your illness, that awful night of fever, that awful everlasting Herzenstube, everlasting, everlasting, that's the worst of it. Everything, in fact, everything. Even that miracle, too. Oh, how it has upset me, how it has shattered me, that miracle, dear Alexei Fyodorovich. And that tragedy in the drawing room, it's more than I can bear, I warn you. I can't bear it. A comedy, perhaps, not a tragedy. Tell me, will Father Zossima live till tomorrow, will he? Oh, my God! What is happening to me? Every minute I close my eyes and see that it's all nonsense, all nonsense. I should be very grateful, Alishaw interrupted suddenly, if you could give me a clean rag to bind up my finger with. I have hurt it, and it's very painful. Alishaw unbound his bitten finger. The handkerchief was soaked with blood. Madame Holokov screamed and shut her eyes. Good heavens! What a wound, how awful! But as soon as Lise saw Alishaw's finger through the crack, she flung the door wide open. Come, come here, she cried, imperiously. No nonsense now. Good heavens, why did you stand there saying nothing about it all this time? He might have bled to death, Mama. How did you do it? Water, water. You must wash it first of all, simply hold it in cold water to stop the pain, and keep it there, keep it there. Make haste, Mama, some water in a slop, basin. But do make haste, she finished nervously. She was quite frightened at the sight of Alishaw's wound. Shouldn't we send for Herzenstube? Cried Madame Holokov. Mama, you'll be the death of me. Your Herzenstube will come and say that he can make nothing of it. Water, water. Mama, for goodness sake go yourself and hurry Yulia. She is such a slow coach and never can come quickly. Make haste, Mama, or I shall die. Why, it's nothing much, cried Alishaw, frightened at this alarm. Yulia ran in with water and Alishaw put his finger in it. Some lint, Mama, for mercy's sake, bring some lint and that muddy caustic lotion for wounds, what's it called? We've got some. You know where the bottle is, Mama? It's in your bedroom in the right-hand cupboard, there's a big bottle of it there with the lint. I'll bring everything in a minute, Lise, only don't scream and don't fuss. You see how bravely Alexei Fyodorovich bears it? Where did you get such a dreadful wound, Alexei Fyodorovich? Madame Holokov hastened away. This was all Lise was waiting for. First of all, answer the question, where did you get hurt like this? She asked Alishaw, quickly. And then I'll talk to you about something quite different. Well? Instinctively feeling that the time of her mother's absence was precious for her, Alishaw hastened to tell her of his enigmatic meeting with the schoolboys in the fewest words possible. Lise clasped her hands at his story. How can you, and in that dress too, associate with schoolboys? She cried angrily, as though she had a right to control him. You are nothing but a boy yourself if you can do that, a perfect boy. But you must find out for me about that horrid boy and tell me all about it, for there's some mystery in it. Now for the second thing, but first a question. Does the pain prevent you talking about utterly unimportant things, but talking sensibly? Of course not, and I don't feel much pain now. That's because your finger is in the water. It must be changed directly, for it will get warm in a minute. Yulia, bring some ice from the cellar and another basin of water. Now she is gone, I can speak. Will you give me the letter I sent you yesterday? Dear Alexei Fyodorovich, be quick, for Mama will be back in a minute and I don't want, I haven't got the letter. That's not true, you have. I knew you would say that. You've got it in that pocket. I've been regretting that joke all night. Give me back the letter at once. Give it me. I've left it at home. But you can't consider me as a child, a little girl, after that silly joke. I beg your pardon for that silliness, but you must bring me the letter, if you really haven't got it, bring to, day, you must. To, day I can't possibly, for I am going back to the monastery and I shan't come and see you for the next 2 days, three or four perhaps, for Father Zossima, 4 days, what nonsense. Listen. Did you laugh at me very much? I didn't laugh at all. Why not? Because I believed all you said. You are insulting me. Not at all. As soon as I read it, I thought that all that would come to pass, for as soon as Father Zossima dies, I am to leave the monastery. Then I shall go back and finish my studies, and when you reach the legal age we will be married. I shall love you. Though I haven't had time to think about it, I believe I couldn't find a better wife than you, and Father Zossima tells me I must marry. But I am a cripple, wheeled about in a chair, laughed Lies, flushing crimson. I'll wheel you about myself, but I'm sure you'll get well by then. But you are mad, said Lies, nervously, to make all this nonsense out of a joke. Here's Mama, very apropos, perhaps. Mama, how slow you always are, how can you be so long? And here's Yulia with the ice. Oh, Lies, don't scream, above all things don't scream. That scream drives me. How can I help it when you put the lint in another place? I've been hunting and hunting, I do believe you did it on purpose. But I couldn't tell that he would come with a bad finger, or else perhaps I might have done it on purpose. My darling Mama, you begin to say really witty things. Never mind my being witty, but I must say you show nice feeling for Alexei Fyodorovich's sufferings. Oh, my dear Alexei Fyodorovich, what's killing me is no one thing in particular, not Hertz and Stube, but everything together, that's what is too much for me. That's enough, Mama, enough about Hertz and Stube, Lies laughed gaily. Make haste with the lint and the lotion, Mama. That's simply Goulard's water, Alexei Fyodorovich. I remember the name now, but it's a splendid lotion. Would you believe it, Mama? On the way here he had a fight with the boys in the street, and it was a boy bit his finger. Isn't he a child? A child himself? Is he fit to be married after that? For only fancy, he wants to be married, Mama. Just think of him married. Wouldn't it be funny, wouldn't it be awful? And Lies kept laughing her thin hysterical giggle, looking slyly at Alishaw. But why married, Lies? What makes you talk of such a thing? It's quite out of place and perhaps the boy was rabid. Why, Mama? As though there were rabid boys. Why not, Lies, as though I had said something stupid. Your boy might have been bitten by a mad dog and he would become mad and bite anyone near him. How well she has bandaged it, Alexei Fyodorovich. I couldn't have done it. Do you still feel the pain? It's nothing much now. You don't feel afraid of water? Asked Lies. Come, that's enough, Lies. Perhaps I really was rather too quick talking of the boy being rabid, and you pounced upon it at once. Katerina Ivanovna has only just heard that you are here, Alexei Fyodorovich. She simply rushed at me, she's dying to see you, dying. Look, Mama, go to them yourself. He can't go just now, he is in too much pain. Not at all, I can go quite well, said Alishaw. What? You are going away? Is that what you say? Well, when I've seen them, I'll come back here and we can talk as much as you like. But I should like to see Katerina Ivanovna at once, for I am very anxious to be back at the monastery as soon as I can. Mama, take him away quickly. Alexei Fyodorovich, don't trouble to come and see me afterwards, but go straight back to your monastery and a good riddance. I want to sleep, I didn't sleep all night. Ah, Lies, you are only making fun. But how I wish you would sleep! Cried Madame Holokov. I don't know what I've done. I'll stay another 3 minutes, 5 if you like, muttered Alishaw. Even 5. Do take him away quickly, Mama, he is a monster.
Lies, you are crazy. Let us go, Alexey Fyodorovich, she is too capricious to, day.
I am afraid to cross her.
Oh, the trouble one has with nervous girls. Perhaps she really will be able to sleep after seeing you.
How quickly you have made her sleepy, and how fortunate it is.
Ah, Mama, how sweetly you talk. I must kiss you for it, Mama.
And I kiss you too, Lies.
Listen, Alexey Fyodorovich, Madam Holokov began mysteriously and importantly, speaking in a rapid whisper. I don't want to suggest anything, I don't want to lift the veil, you will see for yourself what's going on. It's appalling. It's the most fantastic fuss. She loves your brother, Ivan, and she is doing her utmost to persuade herself she loves your brother, Dmitri. It's appalling. I'll go in with you, and if they don't turn me out, I'll stay to the end.
Chapter 5, A Laceration in the Drawing Room. But in the drawing room the conversation was already over. Katerina Ivanovna was greatly excited, though she looked resolute. At the moment Alishaw and Madame Holokov entered, Ivan Fyodorovich stood up to take leave. His face was rather pale, and Alishaw looked at him anxiously. For this moment was to solve a doubt, a harassing enigma which had for some time haunted Alishaw. During the preceding month it had been several times suggested to him that his brother Ivan was in love with Katerina Ivanovna, and, what was more, that he meant to carry her off from Dmitri. Until quite lately the idea seemed to Alishaw monstrous, though it worried him extremely. He loved both his brothers, and dreaded such rivalry between them. Meantime, Dmitri had said outright on the previous day that he was glad that Ivan was his rival, and that it was a great assistance to him, Dmitri. In what way did it assist him? To marry Grushenka? But that Alishaw considered the worst thing possible. Besides all this, Alishaw had till the evening before implicitly believed that Katerina Ivanovna had a steadfast and passionate love for Dmitri, but he had only believed it till the evening before. He had fancied, too, that she was incapable of loving a man like Ivan, and that she did love Dmitri, and loved him just as he was, in spite of all the strangeness of such a passion. But during yesterday's scene with Grushenka another idea had struck him. The word lacerating, which Madame Holokov had just uttered, almost made him start, because half waking up towards daybreak that night he had cried out laceration, laceration, probably applying it to his dream. He had been dreaming all night of the previous day's scene at Katerina Ivanovna's. Now Alishaw was impressed by Madame Holokov's blunt and persistent assertion that Katerina Ivanovna was in love with Ivan, and only deceived herself through some sort of pose, from self, laceration, and tortured herself by her pretended love for Dmitri from some fancied duty of gratitude. Yes, he thought, perhaps the whole truth lies in those words. But in that case what was Ivan's position? Alishaw felt instinctively that a character like Katerina Ivanovna's must dominate, and she could only dominate someone like Dmitri, and never a man like Ivan. For Dmitri might, at last submit to her domination to his own happiness, which was what Alishaw would have desired, but Ivan, no, Ivan could not submit to her, and such submission would not give him happiness. Alishaw could not help believing that if Ivan. And now all these doubts and reflections flitted through his mind as he entered the drawing room. Another idea, too, forced itself upon him. What if she loved neither of them, neither Ivan nor Dmitri? It must be noted that Alishaw felt as it were ashamed of his own thoughts and blamed himself when they kept recurring to him during the last month. What do I know about love and women and how can I decide such questions? He thought reproachfully, after such doubts and surmises. And yet it was impossible not to think about it. He felt instinctively that this rivalry was of immense importance in his brothers' lives and that a great deal depended upon it. One reptile will devour the other, Ivan had pronounced the day before, speaking in anger of his father and Dmitri. So Ivan looked upon Dmitri as a reptile, and perhaps long done so. Was it perhaps since he had known Katerina Ivanovna? That phrase had, of course, escaped Ivan unawares yesterday, but that only made it more important. If he felt like that, what chance was there of peace? Were there not, on the contrary, new grounds for hatred and hostility in their family? And with which of them was Alishaw to sympathize? And what was he to wish for each of them? He loved them both, but what could he desire for each in the midst of these conflicting interests? He might go quite astray in this maze, and Alishaw's heart could not endure uncertainty, because his love was always of an active character. He was incapable of passive love. If he loved anyone, he set to work at once to help him. And to do so he must know what he was aiming at, he must know for certain what was best for each, and having ascertained this it was natural for him to help them both. But instead of a definite aim, he found nothing but uncertainty and perplexity on all sides. It was lacerating, as was said just now. But what could he understand even in this laceration? He did not understand the first word in this perplexing maze. Seeing Alishaw, Katerina Ivanovna said quickly and joyfully to Ivan, who had already got up to go, "A minute. Stay another minute. I want to hear the opinion of this person here whom I trust absolutely. Don't go away," she added, addressing Madame Holokov. She made Alishaw sit down beside her, and Madame Holokov sat opposite, by Ivan. "You are all my friends here, all I have in the world, dear friends," she warmly, in a voice which quivered with genuine tears of suffering, and Alishaw's heart warmed to her at once. "You, Alexey Fyodorovich, were witness yesterday of that abominable scene, and saw what I did. You did not see it, Ivan Fyodorovich, he did. What he thought of me yesterday I don't know. I only know one thing, that if it were repeated to day, this minute, I should express the same feelings again as yesterday, the same feelings, the same words, the same actions. You remember my actions, Alexey Fyodorovich, you checked me in one of them." As she said that, she flushed and her eyes shone. "I must tell you that I can't get over it. Listen, Alexey Fyodorovich. I don't even know whether I still love him. I feel pity for him, and that is a poor sign of love. If I loved him, if I still loved him, perhaps I shouldn't be sorry for him now, but should hate him." Her voice quivered and tears glittered on her eyelashes. Alishaw shuddered inwardly. "That girl is truthful and sincere," he thought, "and she does not love Dmitri anymore."
That's true," cried Madame Holokov.
"Wait, dear. I haven't told you the chief, the final decision I came to during the night. I feel that perhaps my decision is a terrible one, for me, but I foresee that nothing will induce me to change it, nothing. It will be so all my life. My dear, kind, ever, faithful and generous adviser, the one friend I have in the world, Ivan Fyodorovich, with his deep insight into the heart, approves and commends my decision. He knows it."
"Yes, I approve of it," Ivan assented, in a subdued but firm voice.
"But I should like Alishaw, too, Alexey Fyodorovich. Forgive my calling you simply Alishaw, I should like Alexey Fyodorovich, too, to tell me before my two friends whether I am right. I feel instinctively that you, Alishaw, my dear brother, for are a dear brother to me," she said again ecstatically, taking his cold hand in her hot one, "I foresee that your decision, your approval, will bring me peace, in spite of all my sufferings, for, after your words, I shall be calm and submit, I feel that."
"I don't know what you are asking me," said Alishaw, flushing. "I only know that I love you and at this moment wish for your happiness more than my own. But I know nothing about such affairs," something impelled him to add hurriedly.
"In such affairs, Alexey Fyodorovich, in such affairs, the chief thing is honor and duty and something higher, I don't know what but higher perhaps even than duty. I am conscious of this irresistible feeling in my heart, and it compels me irresistibly,
but it may all be put into words.